radio, and the internet.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, back to Barely Legal with Robin Earle and David Spada on TalkZone.com.
Barely Legal Show. Robin Earle here. My partner, David Spada, talking some, we just talk sports. We talk life. We talk golf. We talk whatever comes to mind here. And last week we had Steve Clarkston on from the Dreammakers, ESPN Showcase Dreammakers. And we went down to Soldier Field Saturday, David. There was probably close to 90 kids that participated. The quarterbacks came in from Florida, Texas, Arkansas. I mean, all over the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana. And you can just kind of tell. And, you know, the age groups, they actually had kids there from about 7th grade all the way up to you know, going to be incoming seniors. And within that group was the majority of them. I'm going to say they were probably about 30, 35 or so. But you could just tell that the ones that really knew what they're doing and, you know, had the polished quarterback skills and so forth. And Kevin stood right out. You know, being 6'6", he's obviously the tallest one out there, but he did a fabulous job, worked hard. I mean, Dave, they took these kids from 9 o'clock. They didn't catch a break till 11:30. They had a half hour for lunch. We packed a lunch and, you know, Press and I were in the stands in the mezzanine level there watching, and we were allowed to use half the stadium. So as his groups moved, they had four stations.
Okay.
And they had their quarterback coaches that come with the crew, and actually a local one here, Jeff Christensen, was also involved.
That name sounds real familiar.
Yeah, Jeff Christensen, is a local product. His son went to Lockport High School, went to Iowa, started two seasons, and then he got beat out. Then he transferred to Eastern Illinois.
Okay.
And had a good year. Now he's just looking to catch on. He didn't get drafted, so he's looking at the free agent market. And a lot of respect for Jeff. You know, he's a quarterback coach. He spent a couple years in the league, you know, as a backup and so forth. But he really knows how to teach the position. And, you know, he came up afterwards and said that Kevin has a real shot of really getting to that really high level, whether that's, you know.
You're saying high D1?
Of course. Yeah.
But you're talking the NFL.
Well, you know what? That's the ultimate goal. Okay. Because at this level in high school, you gotta be grooming yourself to say, okay, I gotta get to the best level possible, and that's D1. Okay, you got to pick the right spot. But what's really good out there, David, was, you know, you had the guys from scouts.com. You had all the Tom Lemmings. You had all the Edgy Tims, all of the website guys that you know, post all the high school kids. And so if you went to scout.com, I don't know if Kevin's film's up yet, but a gentleman by the name of Alan, his first name was Alan, had a nice chat with him, and he's very excited about Kevin. But to make a long story short, they picked three kids out of that whole group, and those three are going to New York in 2 weeks, June 5, I believe it's that Saturday, June 5. Kevin was selected, so we're real
very
excited.
Nice.
We're very excited about
that. So what
that.
Does New York mean?
Well, New York means this, is that they have Santa Barbara and they have New York. And they're going to, out of those two groups, they're going to select seven kids to go to Maui. And, you know, that's
where Warren Moon's going to be tutoring them, Joe Montana.
Joe Montana and Leinart and
the guy from Pittsburgh, maybe.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So how many kids are going to New York? Did they tell you?
There probably will be 30 to 35 in New York. So that's really where the cream of the cream, and you got to be in the 1, 2, 3 right there. And I'm sure in Santa Barbara there'll probably be a few more there.
Right.
That's kind of the glamour spot, as they call it. But you know what? That'd be really unfair for families that live in Chicago. I've got Expedia.com on my computer right now, and I'm looking at airfare going to Santa Barbara from Chicago right now. Forget about it.
It's got to be $1,000 round trip.
Oh, and, you know, then obviously there's, you know, the ticket's going to get booked. You know, that's a lot of moolah. We're here going to New York, and it's going to be at Columbia University. The tickets are under $200.
That's great.
You know, so.
Question for you. Someone was asking me, was your son one of Tom Lemming's people in his photo shoot last week?
No, it was not. That was taken at the Proviso East. Kevin, after 9:30 to 11:30, half hour for lunch, another 2.5 hours, he must have thrown the ball over 250 times. His arm, even though it's in great shape and he's been working hard, it was rubber.
Ugh.
Can you imagine that? And you know what? And it got a little sticky, too, because of the fog lifted and the sun came through. It got a little humid. Those kids were sweating.
His arm was like Shane Matthews when he's playing for the Bears.
And who I really felt sorry for was the receivers, the high school receivers that showed up just, you know, it was free to them just to catch balls. There wasn't enough of them because those kids were running constantly, running routes. And my hat goes off to those kids.
So
man,
did you run any routes?
Nope. Dad got to sit on the, you know, in the stands and just watch and observe. I took a lot of film and some pictures and so forth, and I'll have to post them up on Facebook or something here.
If you had your choice, what college would you send them to?
You know,
I know it's up to him, but.
Yeah, we're going to really narrow that in because now we're looking at, we've got 4 or 5 camps that we'll be going to. We'll be going to Northwestern, I think it's mid-June, that has all the MAC coaches there. So it's kind of like a showcase there. So that way you don't have to travel to Ohio University. You don't have to travel to Western and Central Michigan and all the MAC schools, Northern Illinois. So they'll be there to observe and watch the kids. Then we have a Maine South has a lot of the Big Ten schools there. Maine South with Charlie Bliss and his organization. That'll be on a Sunday. I believe it's the 13th.
Of June.
It's a Sunday, and that way they'll have the opportunity to do that. Now, he does want to go to a couple one-dayers, Purdue. You know, Purdue's Purdue. Purdue runs a pro-style offense. You know, Kyle Orton came out of there.
Exactly.
And Kevin's I know you've seen him on YouTube, but he's a Kyle Orton type of player. He's a little taller, you know, maybe a little faster. You know, and could produce into a very nice quarterback. And Jeff was just, as he's watching him, Jeff wants to work with him here in the next few months. And he says, if I just get him to widen his base, and he understands you, he tries to model off of your favorite player.
Dan Marino.
Yeah. And, you know, Dan Marino, when you talk about that quick release, it wasn't necessarily the quick release. It was just the way he hopped.
In quick feet.
Quick feet. It's all feet. All feet, and that's what created the quick release.
Look at the Bears when you played. Avellini's feet were like stone. He could not move back there.
I forgot to ask Gene. Gene came from Maryland just like Bob. You know?
No, but look at the Bears quarterbacks. McMahon had extremely quick feet, could elude the pass rush.
Great
he wasn't
feet.
Fast.
Great feet.
He could avoid it. Vince Evans had all the speed in the world, but he just never seemed to make it as a quarterback.
Well, he played 20 years, though, professionally, so that's not...
Yeah, he sat on the bench for 18 of those years.
Of course.
But why did he never make it big?
Well, it's like anything else. The right system at the right time.
But there was no good Bear quarterback back in the late 70s, early 80s before McMahon came.
Yeah.
That job was his if he wanted it.
Yeah, you could argue that Mike Phipps did a pretty good job in 79. You know, we won those last 7 of 8 to make it to the playoffs, and we get screwed in Philadelphia, you know. There's that Philly again.
Everything reverts back to Philly.
Yeah. Hey, for those of you that were hoping to have Jesse Rogers on, he's actually in a conference right now, press conference with Coach Q with the Hawks. He's at practice. So if he can catch, we're going to be on here for about the next 8 or 9 minutes. If we can catch Jesse, great. If not, hey, you just got to listen to David and I babble here a little bit. But you know what? You can call in at 888-463-6748. Love to take your call if you've got something to talk about. That's what we're here for. But, you know, David, the Super Bowl in New York, was it 2014, right?
2014 in New York.
Yeah.
You know Chicago's going to get it soon. Chicago will get it soon. All the other cold weather cities will want it. I mean, Chicago, New York would do better than Detroit did, even though Detroit has a dome here.
Yeah.
Who wants to go to Detroit? What can you do in Detroit here?
Was that Pittsburgh, Cincinnati? No, that was Cincinnati, San Francisco, Detroit.
Right, a couple of years. And then a couple of years ago, they had one.
Okay.
They had one back in the
Seattle.
Early
80s. Was it Seattle, Pittsburgh?
I believe it was Seattle, Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah. But at the new Ford Stadium.
Exactly. But they had one at the old Silver Dome years ago, and they couldn't even sell it out.
Cincinnati 49ers.
Right.
Last second pass, Joe Montana, 16
to
20.
Clark.
No.
That was a catch.
That was a catch in 79 with the Cowboys.
That was against the Cowboys.
To put him in the Super Bowl.
I think over former guest of ours, Everson Walls.
Yes, absolutely. There you go.
Robin, who was your favorite interview on her show from the start?
Favorite interview. Wow. Man, we've had a few, haven't we?
We've had 17, 18 Hall of Famers.
Well, you shocked me with Don James. I thought that was great. That meant that was a sentimental one there to me. You know, we got to get out. We got to get Sonny Sixkiller on. You know, I saw him all about a month ago at the Washington Alumni Spring Game. What a blast. I know I talked about it, but I still talk about it. Seeing these guys, I hadn't seen him in 33 years, and even my running back, Ronnie Rowland, who's now one of the top security guys with, I think it's the Hilton Hotels.
Okay.
I might, who's the other big, it's the Hilton, who's
Hyatt.
The, could be the Hilton or the Hyatt, one or the other. We communicate through emails every once in a while on Facebook. This Facebook thing is phenomenal thing.
It's
man.
Amazing how many athletes and people are on there. You wouldn't even know. They're on there all the time.
You've asked me to request friends from, I'm up to 465. I try to click a few every day, but man alive. You know what that does, though? It drags, it slows the process of getting onto my website. Oh, with Facebook.
I've got like 480 friends on here. I mean, this is incredible, this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I got
friend
Rudy.
Requests?
Actual friends. Friend requests, I'm getting 2-3 a day. I don't even know who these people are. My wife basically doesn't want to be my friend because she doesn't want her name out there.
All right, we haven't talked Sox because we didn't get Billy Pierce on, but what's with this Peavy dude? He stinks. Is it a bad arm or what?
I don't know what's going on with Peavy here, actually. I mean, I think it could be his arm because his velocity is down a couple miles an hour. So, I mean, if your velocity is down, you're a power pitcher like they said Zambrano is, you're going to have problems.
There
Let's
you
get
go.
Right to our next
Let's
guest.
Let's get right on to him. Jesse, how you doing, partner?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, I know you had a little press conference there with Coach Q and all that. We got about 4 minutes, man.
Sure.
Fill us in. What's going on, man?
Well, they just finished their second day of preparations here at the United Center. They're going to be off tomorrow. Tomorrow's media day, kind of like the Super Bowl. All the players from both teams will meet the media, and there's hordes of media here. You just don't realize that. I've never covered a Stanley Cup final, but even though some people say, oh, it's hockey, well, the hockey world is here in Chicago, and if not here, they're arriving by tomorrow. So it's really mass hysteria in some ways and a circus, but the Hawks have been through this a little bit the first couple rounds. You know, they played in Canada with Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
That's a circus. Even the conference finals had a lot of national media. This will be one more level, but at least they've handled it through the first three rounds here. And I think they will go to the hotel on Saturday, as they've been talking about. It's probably a good idea after a week with family and friends and everybody asking for tickets. I mean, they're getting calls from people that they barely remember from, you know, college and preschool and grade school and all that stuff. So that's the scene here at the UC.
Wow. How?
Jesse, can I get tickets?
Yeah.
I'll go ask Taves right now.
How exciting this is. You know, you know what? I've always kind of had the Hawks in my, you know, watching them in the playoffs. They're so young and so forth. And wow. Now I'm glued to it now, man. You can't get me off that couch watching the Hawks, man.
Yeah. And it should be a great, great series. I didn't think the San Jose series would be all that great. That's just my opinion going in because I thought the Hawks were a lot better and they proved it. I really thought that would end in no more than 5, maybe 6. It turned out to be a sweep. It wasn't a great matchup for San Jose. It was like one team that's big and kind of slow, that's San Jose against the quick, fast team. And that doesn't always provide for the best hockey, although games 1 and 3 especially were good, and even the fourth game. This one is more of a mirror image. You know, the Flyers are grittier, certainly, than San Jose. That was the other thing. San Jose was too nice. I was talking to Adam Bursch about this.
Yeah,
he couldn't,
exactly.
He couldn't pick out a guy on the roster to hate. Here you have several. Daniel Pirillo, Asham, Pronger is, you know, the most hated guy in the league. So this will be a grittier, edgier series. And their captain, Mike Richards, is a great player, and he drops the gloves about 7 to 8 times a year in terms of fighting. That's something Taves pointed out today. So you gotta remember, this will be the edgiest team they play. We thought Vancouver was going to be, didn't turn out to be all that, you know, fierce. I thought.
Uh-huh.
This one will definitely be.
Jesse, your former co-workers, Boris and Bernstein, say that Philly has no shot to win this series. What do you think?
Well, I would never say no shot. I mean, you look at the 7 and 8 seeds played for the conference title over there. So I wouldn't – no, this is not – maybe if Montreal was in this thing. But Philly is a talented team that a lot of people before the season picked to go far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you could say no shot. I do like the Hawks, but I can't see it going as easy as San Jose. I thought Nashville was probably the toughest matchup for the Hawks so far. This will probably match that sort of matchup, and that thing went 6 and almost 7 when you consider they had to score shorty with seconds remaining to advance that series, you know, in Game 5. So, I don't think it's a done deal, but the Hawks are the favorite for a reason, and that makes sense. But, you know, maybe they're a 65% favorite, you know what I'm saying? I give the Flyers a decent shot, but you know, maybe the home ice finally makes a difference in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know what, Jesse, if you go back to the playoff series, and David and I were at Soldier Field at the Bears Expo, and that game, was it Game 5, Game 6?
That's when
the Hawks tied the score against Nashville.
With like 20 seconds
with
left.
With 20 seconds left and won it in overtime.
Right.
Do you think that was the biggest turning point of the season for the playoffs?
Right. You'd probably have to say so just in terms of pure numbers. You're down to your final seconds in a shorthanded situation. 999 times out of 1,000, you're going to lose that game. It's one thing to have, a close game and you pull your goalie, but when you have a penalty and you're killing a penalty, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in terms of just pure drama and everything, yeah, that was kind of the turning point. I don't know where the wake-up call really came, though. It may not have come till Game 5 against Vancouver after they came home and played that dud when they were up 3-1. Since that game, they've obviously reeled off 5 in a row. I guess we could call that Nashville win the turning point. It certainly wasn't just in terms of not having to go all the way to play 7 games. But in terms of coming in with the A effort every night, it really just started in the last 5 games.
Jesse, real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. Sure. Who's the MVP of the series so far?
Well, it's got to be Taves, but Antti is a close second, mostly because of the fact that he came out of nowhere to do it. But Taves is a .13 straight. He's done everything. He's killed penalties. He's put the puck in the net. He's been a playmaker. So number one is Taves, but Niemi's right behind him. The performances he had in games 1 and 3 against San Jose were fantastic.
Real quick, like here, Duncan Keith missing the teeth. Is that it?
Seven.
Missing about 7.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But luckily, 3 were already fake before they were knocked out.
There
so
you go.
He's only missing 4 new ones.
Who's the best attorney in the business?
The guy that got my license back while I was out of town, that would be David Spada.
David Spada. Way to go, David.
Even though you sleep with one.
All right. All right.
She didn't get my license back. You did.
Hey, Jesse, thanks partner. Appreciate the update. Jesse Rogers, ESPN hockey extraordinaire. This is the Barely Legal Show. We want to thank Jesse Rogers, our guest. Of course, Gene Heiser from the Cubs. I'm Robin Earl. That's David Spade. We'll talk to you next week.